It is now our privilege to have our brother Don Horion serve us. And as you see, there's kind of a complicated chart up here. We'll let Brother Don do his explanation, and we're looking forward to it. And so, Brother Don, may the Lord bless your service to us at this hour, and we're looking great anticipation to see if we can understand what you have in front of us.
Thank you, Brother Jim, Brother Harry, and Sister Judy for playing for us. And appreciate the privilege of being here with all of you, my brethren. And want to make a special effort to give the love of our brethren that we meet with some over the phone. Brother Roy Pascal, and he sends love from his mother, Sister Audrey. And also from Brother Josh Horine, Brother Danny, and Sister Melissa, and Sister Anita will be here tomorrow at the convention. And the love from Brother Melvin. We don't get to see him as often as we should. He's in a nursing home. He always wanted us, anytime we were with the brethren, to send love to everyone. And appreciate the privilege of being here. And we don't want this chart that you see up here to intimidate you in the least. You could all make that chart, no problem. The information from the chart is from right. Let me do this different here. It's from Volume 1, Study 12, the explanation of the chart. And this is on the handout that Brother Ed and Brother Roman are handing out here to you. You can take some extra ones. I made 100. We can print more if you would like. The other references are Volume 2, Study 2 on the Bible chronology, and Volume 2, Study 6 on Earth's Great Jubilee. And To simplify things just a little bit right here, I'm going to turn off the Jubilees for now. And what we've got here on the chart, just in general, this is the chronology right out of Volume 2 in the green right here with all of the times. And we have listed each scripture that gives you the number of years. For instance, Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth, and that's Genesis 5:3. So if you're doing a chronology study, you can look through the, you can have this there, and you can look up the scriptures right away. Then, when you start on your chronology study, the keys that we'd like to bring out with this is, when can you lock the chronology to our calendar? And then when could you lock the calendar to the seventh day, the seventh creative day? Very important thing. Those two things, Brother Russell stresses in the chronology there, that we need to be able to do that. Otherwise, we don't know where we're at on the stream of time with respect to the creative days. And we just showed the, I want to show this just as a matter of perspective. This is the divine plan of the ages to scale. And we know that on our divine plan of the ages chart, it's hid by the screen, but there's the one up here now. There's a little, I don't know if this one has it on it, but it has a not to scale listed on your divine plan of the ages chart. Here's why that is. We take the time from Adam to the flood. That's not a problem. We take the time from the flood to the Jacob's death to begin the parallels. And that's not too much of a problem either. But the harvests that are particularly shown on the chart, that's a big problem. Here's the time that the harvests fit in the scheme of the 7,000 years. Each one, we did this just like a clock. It starts from the top, and year by year, we go around clockwise until you reach the top again, and that's 7,000 years. And so here's all, this is the majority of what you see on the divine plan of the age chart, the Jewish harvest and the gospel harvest. Notice how narrow the bands would be for the harvest that's at the end of the age. It's truly a small thing. And this puts that into that perspective. Not very usable when you're talking about the chart. Therefore, Brother Russell makes it not to scale. Now we want to take a quick look at the creative days themselves. And these give you the scriptures that goes with each creative day. So if you're talking with someone...
Let me do something here real quick.
Make the circles round again. The first day, let there be light. We have the scripture for that. And then we go down through each creative day. And starting at the top, you got 7,000 years. We broke that out in the seventh day here. Here's 1,000, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So you can see the perspective of a 7,000-year time frame. And that's what we're interested in with Bible chronology. So now, there's a few things that you can't see on your little chart just because they're so small. There's some little secrets hidden in there. Like the Jubilee year itself, 1 year is so tiny, you can hardly see it. Now, with hindsight, we say Adam was in the Garden of Eden for 2 years. Just want to give you the perspective on that. What is 2 years? We're zooming. There is 2 years on a 7,000-year circle. Bit of trivia, I think AutoCAD has a 1,000,000,000-to-1 zoom capability, so you can keep going. But that just gives you a perspective of what we're looking at here for the timing of things. We'd like to point out just a few interesting things right off, is if someone asked you on a 7,000-year circle, where would you put the flood? And I know when I thought about it, and don't think about the dates just too much, just in your mind, where would you put the flood? I would have probably stuck the flood up at an angle about like this. The reality is, here's the flood, 2472 here, and it's nearly a quarter of the circle of Earth's 7,000-year history. Then another one that was a real surprise to me. By the way, you can thank Sister Karen Wildblood for this because she wanted to see the chronology on a circle. And when we got to looking at it, I got really excited because it really adjusted my perspective on it. And so with the flood being nearly a quarter of a circle, now that we know that, say, here's your zero line and here's the flood. Where did Adam die? I would have probably stuck it up here like this. Not so. Adam died right here, 3198 BC. And so it is closer from Adam to the flood than it is from Adam's birth to when he died. So most of the children of Adam that you see in the chronology were alive while Adam was alive yet. And Methuselah was born here on the time frame here. Adam died there. There's, I forget how many years there, 140, 150 or so. But so Methuselah could have talked to Adam for many, many years. And who else knew Methuselah? Shem. And Shem lived until 1971 BC, all the way down here. Let me highlight that line right there. Right there. That line is where Shem died. Now take a look. That is nearly a third of Earth's history. So when you think of the perspective of that, think how accurate this is in the scriptures. Now, with that in mind, you know, the scientists are always digging up dead bones and trying to figure out how long mankind has been here on the earth. And Brother Russell goes over that in the second volume, on the chapter on chronology. And one thing really tickled me this time. We'd like to read the paragraph on B, page 36, the last paragraph. And remember, he also talked about the bricks that were in the slime and how one brick was 3,000 years chronology-wise below the other brick, the scientists thought. And Brother Russell says, wouldn't it, to an unscientific mind, of course, I think he was more scientific than the scientist, that the bricks fell into the slime, one maybe on the edge and one of them flat and didn't go down quite as far. That would be more logical than two identical-looking bricks being made 3,000 years apart. So, anyway, we appreciate in this paragraph what he says. The Bible, our God-provided history of the first 3,000 years, is the only work in the world which, beginning with Adam, the first man mentioned in history, monument, or inscription, whose name, the time of his creation, and death are recorded, and from whom his descendants can be traced by name and age in successive links for nearly 4,000 years. It just tickles me when we look at that. And then he goes on how the thread of the Bible is complete until secular history has become accurate. And so here they're trying to figure out how long mankind has been on the earth, and God has given us the record. Doesn't that want to make you want to fall down and thank our Heavenly Father? He's given us the record person by person and age by age there until secular history has become accurate. What does that do for your faith and reverence to our Heavenly Father? We love it. By the way, when I was 10 years old, I got out. I wanted to prove the evolutionist was wrong by looking at the Bible. So I got out my roll of butcher paper, not knowing I was already totally duped by. I needed that because, you know, how else are you going to plot out a million years? It's going to take a long paper. Little did we know that in Matthew, even though we'd read it, but it's a hidden mystery revealed unto you. And little did we know in Matthew and Luke, there's the genealogy from Adam to Jesus there. It didn't go over a millions of years. And so we really thank Heavenly Father that we could understand these things. By the way, if I have any of the dates up here, the days wrong, apologize for that. It's not God's fault. It's just 6,000 years have fallen. There's not much left. we'd like to know if we got them amiss. We can fix them. And you can fix them on your sheets if you'd like there. But as we follow the chronology, we'll just do this real quick here. And by the way, you just go into your second volume on the study on chronology. Everything in green here is right out of the second volume for each one of the numbers of years and the scripture that was given. This is kind of handy if I get an opportunity to talk to someone about chronology. It's easy to see it all. Right here, and you've got the proof right there for every single thing that happened. And remembering that we start with Adam, and he lived 130 years and begat Seth. Seth, 105 years and begat Enos. And then who lived 90 years begat Canaan. You see how it kind of is going down the list. Anyway, you get down to the point where Lamech lived 187 years and begat Noah. And then that's where I know I was totally lost back when I was 10 and had no idea what in the world to do next. But because the genealogy didn't exactly follow after that, and you couldn't stay in track with it. So, but we know that Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. So that gives you the timeline for the flood. There's also an interesting point here that I had puzzled about multiple times and just didn't really know what to do with it, was in Genesis 5:32, it says that Noah was 500 years old, and he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then you notice in the second volume, Brother Russell says that Shem, because the scripture says so in Genesis 11:10, Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Well, those don't quite match up, because if Noah beget Shem, Ham, and Japheth 100 years before the flood, how is it that Shem was 102 years after the flood? The answer to that is, get this right here, right on your sheet here, the note, oops, in Genesis 5:32 there, the comment in the Harvest Gleanings on page 104, paragraph 3 is, Shem, Ham, and Japheth were not listed in the order of their birth. And I guess when I had read it all the time before, I just sort of automatically thought they were triplets. But you know, whenever there's twins born, it's always mentioned in the scriptures. It would have really been mentioned if there were triplets. And so there's the solution to that problem. While Shem, Ham, the beginning of Noah having children was 500, when he was 500 years old, Ham or Japheth was born first, one of the two. And since it didn't even mention about them being twins, we would probably assume that none of the three then were born at the same time. So one of those two was born first. Shem was born when Noah was 502. Just as simple as that. So 2 years after the flood, like the scriptures say, Shem was 100, and he begat Arphaxad then. And so we don't know when the other one of the sons was born, neither do we know which one was born first. But we do know when Shem was born. And so that was just a nice little tidbit that we got this time as we were going through all of this and thought, you know, here it is right in front of you. What is wrong with this picture? And we were glad that the Lord, through the seventh messenger, gives us the answer, as he does for everything. And another little side point, too, is where did he get the answers? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The testimony of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, seventh messenger, and to his servant John, the church class. And that's where we get the information. Very good source, our Heavenly Father. What did Jesus always say? The words I speak are not my words, but the words of him who sent me. That's where all of this chronology came from, God. That's why it's perfect. So if you see any mistakes in here, I just accidentally have them on the chart. No intention, I didn't want them to be there, but they may be. So anyway, then Arphaxad lives 35 years and begat Selah. And then we go down through all of that in the second volume there. And then we get down, it gets a little more interesting to the end. Again, without the help of the seventh messenger, we would have really been stuck here. So we get down to Terah, Abraham's father. And we know that how old Terah was when he died. And see, that's the clue that Brother Russell gives us in the scriptures, because that will link us to the rest of what's going on in the chronology. And he says that Terah died when he was 205 years old. Now, Abraham, we know when he was born, because Terah begat or lived 75 years and begat Abraham. But notice this is not added into the chronology up here because it's not referenced to the birth of Abraham. It is, the chronology is referenced to when Terah died for a good reason. Remember what God told Abraham, that if he would leave his father's house and go into a land where he knew not, God would make a covenant with him. And so when Terah died, Abraham immediately went into the land of the covenant. And so that's the significance of the 205 years. And then in the scriptures that go with that, we've got a few of them in here. These are the Genesis 12, 1 through 8, Acts 7, 2 through 5, and then if you read the rest of the chapter, it's really wonderful. That's the discourse Stephen gave just before he was stoned. And then Exodus 12, 40 through 51, and then Galatians 3, 16 and 18, which gives us the amount of time that existed from when the covenant was given to Abraham, which these other scriptures show you exactly that it began when Terah died. And then 430 years later, the law was given from Galatians 3, 16 to 18. And so you've clearly got that link that Brother Russell put in there. And then we went ahead and followed who begat who a little bit. And so Isaac, we find, was born in 2020 B.C. Shem died then in 1971 B.C., which would be, 19 years later? Or, let's see, 20? 29? Yeah, 29 years later. So, conceivably, Shem could have even talked to Isaac. So, it's really neat how all of the genealogy of the ancients here are so closely linked to just three people. Adam, Methuselah, and Shem. So it lays tremendous credibility to the accuracy of the scriptures, knowing that it's so well tied together like that. And we want to be like Abraham, who believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then what we have after the law covenant, then you've got the 40 years in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 8:2. That the children of Israel wandered there. And then 6 years later, the land was divided. And then after that, then we needed, then we needed help again. So Brother Russell says the answer to the period of the judges, which is kind of erratic when you're going through it, difficult to follow, is given exactly in Acts 13, 19 through 21, to be 450 years. Now, so far, we haven't been looking over here at the circle very much because we don't know where we're at on that circle. We know that we're starting it at zero at the top and it's going around for 7,000 years, but we don't know where we're at yet. We're still heading for it. So then we have the period of the kings. And right out of the second volume, we had Saul 40 years, David 40, Solomon 40, Rehoboam 17, Abijah 3, Asa 41, Jehoshaphat 25, etc., etc., right on down, scripture by scripture, until you get the total of the number of the reign of the kings of Israel being 513 years. So that brings you at that time to when Israel went into captivity in Babylon in 606 B.C. We looked in a history book that before Brother Josh was Brother Josh, he was studying and looked up there and they had that date listed at 605. But that's not when Brother Russell said secular history became accurate yet, so the history book proved it wasn't. We know that it was because of all of the times that God talked about the 70 years desolation of the land of Israel so that she could enjoy her Sabbath. So, 70 years later then, and that's 2 Chronicles 36, 20 through 23, the 70 years captivity in Babylon brings you to 536 A.D., and in 536 A.D., and his history book was right on, that's when Babylon, Babylonian Empire got turned over to the Medo-Persian Empire. In 536, now we have a link with secular history. Now, all of a sudden, and only at this point of time, I was giving you some of these dates before, but it's hindsight. These dates that you see right here can only be given once you reach the 536 date, and now the Bible chronology has a link to our Gregorian calendar. And we have the dates, and then Brother Russell could back up and say Adam was born in 4128 B.C. Still a problem, though. Where is 4128 B.C. on the 7,000-year circle? It's just a date. Just like every other date that's in here is just a date. It is not linked to the circle. So, while we're looking at this 7,000 years, we know we want our circle to be, the vertical line of it is zero when the 7,000th year began. If I would do this for you, but it would be just nonsense when you looked at it. I tried rotating it all in AutoCAD, but it leaves the original image in there. But the fact is, if you took everything that you're looking at right here, and you put that on a separate sheet of paper and you punched a little pin in the middle of this and rotated the piece of paper, all you know is that Adam was created sometime in the sixth day. So you could back up that whole circle anywhere up to 7,000 years in a backwards direction. We know the animals were created first before Adam, so you automatically kind of move it around toward the end somewhere, but you have no idea where. And that would be the illustration if you wanted to see what Brother Russell was describing there when he says we don't know how long Adam was in the Garden of Eden. So what do we have to end up doing to find that out? That did bring us to the end of our chronology. The other thing that he mentions, of course, is if you add 6,000 years to the beginning date on the calendar, you will end up at October 1872. So that's just 6,000 years later. That date also moves around on this circle when you move everything. It's just 6,000 years after Adam created. You don't know when it happened in the seventh day. We have to jump to the Jubilees for that. Now I'll turn them back on. And what do we know about the kingdom? 2 Peter chapter 3, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And how many scriptures everywhere? The day of the Lord, in that day, you know. And so that very important day, and it's 1,000 years long. That lets us throw another line up here. This big one right here, the blue one, the faithful one that is happening and will continue until all the families of the earth are blessed. That 1,000 years of Jubilee would be due to begin right here. Now we've got that little piece in there, but it isn't locked to the rest of the chronology. We just know that the Jubilee will last 1,000 years. So we've got an end point right here, but we don't know when all of the rest of the chronology occurred, because we don't know how long Adam was in the Garden of Eden before he sinned and the seventh or Sabbath day began. So what we have to do then is take a look at the Jubilee counting to determine that. And remember how the counting went. There were 7 times 7 years followed by a Jubilee here. And the Jubilees entered at a particular point in time in the chronology, and that was when the Israelites entered the Promised Land. Then it was to keep Sabbath. And so the Jubilee counting would begin exactly then. Now here's where the advantage is, and you get to see the things you can't see on the chart, because remember how small that 1 year was when we zoomed in on the 2 years even of Adam? That was really small. Okay, I tried to illustrate it here where you see these circles on your chart. This is just a view back to what happened when the Jubilee counting goes from type to anatype. And then this is a little picture here of what it looks like right up at the end. But what does it really look like to scale? We'll do some zooming here till we get in there. And by the way, you need to look right here. This is the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, this upper black line right there. And so as soon as they entered the land of Canaan, they began counting the 50 times 50. Let's keep zooming. What's in here? Here's the hidden little year there that's the Jubilee year, where we put the little dot in there. Very important when we start looking at the prophecy versus the law counting method of the Jubilee. Let me make the circles round again. Okay, there you can see it a little bit better. So each 49 years had a 50th or Jubilee year following it. And Brother Russell says, okay, how do we know how many of them that they typically kept? Well, there's a pretty good limit. With the 70-year desolation of the land in Babylon. So as soon as the king Zedekiah was dethroned and they went into captivity in Babylon, get down here so you can see the last king, Zedekiah, right up here. So when the last king was dethroned and they went into captivity in Babylon, they couldn't have had any Jubilees then, because they all were taken out of Israel. So, just counting backwards, we find there were 19 Jubilees back. So if we counted how many we had in here, you can count them on your own sometime, but there's 19 of them here that will take you up to here. Now, prophetically, what was happening in there? And I put a little note in here. The blue on the inside, or the turquoise there on the inside, is the prophetic counting. And the magenta on the outside is the counting according to the law, where you have the 49 years plus the Jubilee year. So we'll note, if we take a look at all of these, prophetically and according to the law, we had Jubilees every year running around the circle until the 19 Jubilees had been fulfilled right here. Now what happens? And remember, the clue that Brother Russell had was Jesus said that not one jot nor tittle from the law could pass away until all be fulfilled. So when they went into captivity in Babylon, definitely wasn't an atypical Jubilee happening then. So what did happen? It was the anatypical counting for the anatypical Jubilee, which was the 50 times 50 then. Remember how the weeks were counted and squared, and then you had a Jubilee day, and then you had the Jubilee years, and then he says, okay, so then we do 50 times 50 Jubilees, and then it should be time for the Grand Jubilee. So now an interesting thing here is this. When you see it on the circle here, it's a little easier to perceive the concept of what's happening. Now I'm just going to move it up here so we can make it a little bigger. But when you're doing the counting according to the law, it's very different from when you're doing the counting according to the prophecy. The reason is the law starts counting toward the antitypical Jubilee at 625 B.C. when the 19th Jubilee ended. That's where the law counting starts counting. So it goes from here all around here until you've got the last 50 times 50. But the counting according to the prophecy said there's to be 70 Sabbaths. It starts counting back here when Israel went into the land. So those two are counting from two different reference points. That's why it's important when Brother Russell says, what if there was one less or one more? We want to see if we can see how that would be on this picture also. So when you do the 50 times 50, well, if we counted here, we've got 2,500 years worth of cycles here, or 50 Jubilee cycles. If you count them, there's 50 of them from 625 up here to 1874. And that's how many are on the inside of it. Now, what actually happened different when we were going according to the law and according to the prophecy? So let's zoom right in where that change is occurring. And what we'll see here is this. Let's look at this one very carefully right here. Here was the last, this was the 19th. That would have been a nice, I should have put 19 in here. The 19th Jubilee was right here, and prophetically, they had also, half-heartedly, as Brother Russell said, observed it. So you have the Jubilee year for both prophetic and the law. Now let's scoot down the line to where the first antitypical law cycle counted. 50 times 50, Jubilee year, and then the next 50 times 50 starts counting. But what happened prophetically? Did they observe the Jubilees any time after they went into captivity anymore? No. So, what we've got, 50 times 50, no Jubilee. And so its counting starts right here, a year sooner, for its next 50 times 50 under the law. Remember we had 19 times 50 for the ones that were fulfilled, and 51 times 49 for the ones that were not, because they were 49 years, the 7 times 7, and then the next counting began. So that's what's happening over here. We don't have 50, we've got 49. Now, let's just observe what happens as we go around the circle. You know this happens from the math, but this allows you to see it. Let's go to the next one. Now, look what happened there. Let's zoom way up here. There's two circles worth of gap this time. On the last one, there was only one, and this counting here started right there and started going, but now it's another year short because there was no Jubilee. Let's back up a little so you can watch the progress. Now there's two spaces worth in there. Now I'm going to zoom out a little bit more. I want to make sure you can see it from there, and we'll just start moving around. Notice it's moving. We're going to work around this. We're going farther and farther around the 7,000 year time period here. See how that this point here keeps moving and moving as we go? Let me zoom out. Just can you see it in the back okay? Okay. Now, we're going to keep going because this is literally what's happening. pretty soon it's going to end up being halfway, and it'll keep on going. Year by year, we're moving around, or actually, jubilee by jubilee, we're moving around here, 50 years at a time. And I get that when I accidentally hit the wrong button. Notice we're past the center now. We're starting to close in on the other side. Even though I knew this was going to happen, this just was a thrill when I looked at it here. You can see what's coming. We're getting closer and closer and closer down there. Adamitis, sir. Getting close. Getting really close. Bingo. The two line up. Guess what date that is? October 1874. And still gives me chills with it. And it's time for the times of restitution and the grand jubilee. That's the blue line now, the 1,000 years. We've got a link. Now you can say that Adam was in the Garden of Eden for 2 years and that he fell in 4126 B.C. and that began the seventh day. Now they are linked. And without that jubilee counting right there, they can't be linked. Now here the other thing. Remember that antitype always replaces the type. And this shows that nicely too, because as you look at it right here, there weren't any jubilees on the prophetic counting. So when it ended right here in October 1874, it was time for the grand jubilee to happen. On the law counting, though, it would have had the 1 year of jubilee at the end, but the antitype replaces the type. So it's necessary that it started on this side of the jubilee year dot there. You can zoom way up. You can see the bigger jubilee dot. So it has to start here. If it started there, the counting would have been wrong. And the understanding of the jubilees would have been wrong. So what we see is what happened is exactly right. And I like to... I don't know which brother it was, but one of the old-timer brethren I always heard a story about. Someone came up to him and said, "The jubilees are wrong, and I can prove it." And this brother said, "Well, I can't just explain it to you right now, but it was exactly right the last time I studied it. And when I study it again, it will be exactly right again." And that's the nice thing about everything that God does. It's exactly right every time. And will always be that way. So we can appreciate then how this the counting progressed and how it comes out exactly at the end. And it's just skewed by each year that goes by. The prophecy is slipping by one where the law is progressing. And in 1874, they match perfectly. Now, Brother Russell then says, okay, let's suppose that we're off, and we add 1 year to the law. If we added 1 year to the law, in other words, what would have happened is the 50 times 50 has to stay, but suppose they had 20 jubilees that they had observed instead of 19, what would happen? We would have to add another loop right here, because it would have started 50 years later. So then the law would have ended out here. But what about the prophecy? Remember, those are not counting from the same starting point. Prophetically, there's 70 because there were 70 years desolation of the land, and it started from the time they entered into the land. So all that would mean was instead of 19 observed jubilees, there would be 20 if they had one more. So then, instead of 51 times 49, it would be 50 times 49. It would have ended 1 year longer than it did right here. This blue line here would be just ending right on the other side of that circle right there, where the jubilee, according to the law, would have a whole loop out here. Now it's 49 years off. Can't go that way. What if it went the other way? What if they only observed 19, or 18 rather, instead of 19? And then what would have happened? We would be missing this loop because it would have had the part of the 50 times 50, one more loop at the other end, but there would be 18 prophetically. So you would have 18 times 50 and then 52 times 49. This blue line would have only moved back 1 year this way. Again, it's 49 years off. Big error. This time lock of law and prophecy here, remember what it says, if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, it is because there is no light in them. Those two can only add up and line up in this circumstance right here, just exactly like it did. And Brother Russell says, okay, evidences of it. Did we have any evidences of the... and by the way, when you read, I always like when I have opportunities to discuss things with Jehovah's Witnesses occasionally, and they come to the door, I like to share with them the Acts 3:19 to 21. That the times of restitution were spoken of by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began. I said, well, what was it they talked about? Each one of those prophets ended up talking about how the nation of Israel was God's chosen people and in their favor. And then what happened? Because they went out of favor, God cast them off. But did he forever cast them off? As the Apostle Paul says, God forbid. And so all Israel shall be saved. They're cast off until the times of restitution of all things. So we back up in the 1800s there, mid-1800s, were the Jews going back to their land then? No. Restitution of them back to their land hadn't happened yet, and that was what was spoken of by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began. So it could not have gone that way. It couldn't have been one less. What if it was one more? The brethren wouldn't have known this until the 1900s instead of in the 1800s, because all of these things were sealed until the times of restitution when the Lord would return. He would serve meat in due season to the household of faith. Become more impressed all the time about the evidence that Brother Russell always appreciated about that. He didn't want to point a finger at himself, but it was the fact that the truth was being made known in the harvest period there that designated that the Lord had returned. That was a proof that the Lord had returned then. So you have all of these evidences and all of the chronology. It's locked to our Gregorian calendar in 536. It's locked to the circle of the 7,000-year Sabbath day by the Jubilees ending in October 1874 at the second advent of our Lord and Redeemer, by whom we all know all of this. Not of ourselves, we're nothing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. This wasn't wrong when it was made. Excuse my errors if there's some in there. And it will never be wrong. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Don, for that beautiful lesson. when he talked about it in perspective, now we do have a different perspective of the chart, only in a pie form, and it's beautifully done. Thank you, Brother Don. Let us conclude this service with the use of hymn number 214. 214, we'll get the numbers right, I think, this time. And at its conclusion, Brother Don will lead us in a word of prayer, and we'd ask you to remain seated while we have just a few announcements to make. 214.
Dear most kind and loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name, and hallowed be the name of thy wonderful Son, our Redeemer. And we thank you so much for sending him to pay the ransom for Adam, by which all of these wonderful treasures of thy wisdom and knowledge and the opportunity of the narrow way and the opportunity for the resurrection and blessing of all the families of the earth is made possible. And we thank you so much for giving us all the confidence of knowing that what you have said that you will do will be done. And that's what we desire, Heavenly Father, that in all things, not our will, but thine be done. And we pray for the full establishment of thy kingdom, that thy will be done on heaven, in heaven as on earth as in heaven. And we ask forgiveness for our failings and shortcomings and realizing that we are but nothing. And we desire to know anything said amiss that it might bring to the end glory and honor to thy most holy name. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray.